In the gospel there, we heard Jesus say three times, my Father, my Father, my Father. We're kind of let into the prayer of Jesus in a beautiful way. And in an even more beautiful way, we're led into the prayer of Jesus because when he taught us how to pray, he said for us to say, our Father, right? Which can mean all of us together, right? But most specifically, it means Jesus and us. I'm saying together with Jesus, our Father. He's letting us into his prayer. Also in that gospel, we heard the high priest, Caiaphas. This is the Jewish high priest, right? Who's kind of a pseudo high priest standing in the presence of the great high priest. And yet Jesus has said earlier in the gospel that the priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, they have the seat of Moses. They have been given authority, so don't follow their example. But do what they say. And that's what we heard Jesus himself follow his own command there. When the high priest said, I command you, are you the Christ? And that's the first time that he responded. He made no answer to any other accusation until the high priest commanded him to do so. Jesus, who is the authority above all authorities, still respects authority. And then we also heard the crowds, right? And it's so powerful that the way the church sometimes, at least, divides up this gospel proclamation so that all of us have a say, a share in the passion of Christ. We all have a share in saying, yeah, we're responsible for his death too, right? It's not just the Jews or the Romans or Pontius Pilate. We are all responsible for his death. We all say, crucify him, crucify him. And the crowds respond to Pilate, right? When he says, you want me to crucify your king? And we responded, his blood be upon us and on our children. Now the crowds back then didn't have a sense of what that truly meant, but we know. Absolutely, we want his blood to be upon us and upon our children because his blood redeems us, sets us free. In an indirect way, they were saying, yes, crucify him so that we can be redeemed, so that we can be saved. Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me. Jesus said that 2,000 years ago. During the Last Supper, about Judas. And a little later, just after the supper, as we heard, as they were going to the garden, he said to Peter, amen, I say to you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. And a little bit later, in the Garden of Gethsemane, after Jesus had been arrested, the gospel says, and all the disciples left him and fled. The women at the foot of the cross, who didn't run away, only looked on from a distance. They couldn't do anything to help him. And neither can we. Neither can we. Even the Blessed Mother, who is the Immaculate Conception, never touched by sin, did not thereby have the power to save herself, let alone to save her son. I think if we're honest with ourselves, we know you and I would have run away too. And even if we pretend not to have sin or truly are unaware of our sins, we still can't save ourselves. We still can't change this fallen world. We still can't change the fact that we will die. It's important to grasp well our vulnerability. and the limits of what we can do and can't do. Because that's why he suffered for us. That's why he died for us. Because of the limits of what we can do. Because of our vulnerability. St. Paul says that none of us can boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. When's the last time you told someone else, "I'm indebted to the cross of Christ. I am who I am because of the cross of Christ. I'll never be the same because of the cross of Christ." Jesus was chained, spat on, struck, slapped, beaten, scourged on every part of his body, front as well as back, crowned with thorns, made to carry a cross beam, and crucified. When the first letter of St. Peter says, "By his wounds we are healed," it doesn't say healed of what? Because the implication is healed of everything. Healed of everything. Let's take just one example of his suffering, the crowning of thorns, right? If you study the Shroud of Turin, which I highly encourage you to do, we learn that the body of Jesus had thorn marks all over his head, top as well as sides, penetrating wounds. Biblically, the mention of thorns takes us back to the curse of Adam, that the ground was cursed because of his sin, our sin, doomed to yield thorns and thistles, doomed to yield thorns. The consequence of sin. And here the new Adam is crowned with the curse of the old Adam, to bear our curse, to bear the weight of our sins in order to reverse it, in order to deliver us. Because of his crown of thorns, he's now crowned with glory and honor. And we who follow him can now walk in his footsteps, and doing so, we'll reach his kingdom, where a crown of glory and honor awaits us as well. So now, we follow him. We follow him. We trust him. We grow in love for him, who suffered so much for us. The Heavenly Father, our Father, sees you. And he sees you as worth the price of his Son's blood. And that Son would rather die the agony of the cross than spend eternity without you. What kind of return can we make for such selfless love, except to grow in selfless love for others? Well, so here's the homework for the week. Walk the Stations of the Cross this week. It's a beautiful devotion, a beautiful exercise. And strive to boast of Christ, of the cross of Christ, to as many as you can.